Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Coming up, Hill Notes at 9:20. Still time to leave a voice note for us on any topic on the Odyssey app. But right now, the Red Sox front office report this week brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov. And it is Sam Kennedy, the president of the Boston Red Sox, who joins us this week. Hey, Sam.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. We're hanging in there.
Yeah, hanging in there. And we were earlier during they said it, we talked a little bit about Garrett Crochet, who was very kind and generous toward the front office and Alex Cora when it came to being yanked last night. I wanted to ask you about that balance, because you got a guy who is, as Wiggy said earlier, dealing and has been dealing and wants to stay in there. How do you guys balance that with the fact that it is a long season and you need him hopefully well into the fall?
Yeah, it's really hard, because you just said it. He's dealing and in the moment, you know, he's looking the way he looks, and then you make a decision that is really rooted in sort of the overall best health of the team. But those are the hard decisions that that our guys have to make night in and night out. We're preparing for 162, but you know, in the moment, you know, you certainly don't want to see a guy like that come out of the game when he's doing what he's doing. But obviously, everybody knows he has not pitched a full slate of games over 162. And, you know, he's so strong and young and building up. We just got to make sure everybody stays healthy. But it's hard. Baseball in the moment is really hard. But you got to think about the next several weeks as well. It's a difficult balance.
Sam, I think a lot of media and fans tried to paint a picture that Crochet was upset with what happened last night. Obviously, we heard from him. He didn't seem upset. But there's a bigger narrative around this Red Sox team right now that there might be a communication issue, whether it was with Rafi Devers and John Henry having to fly out to talk to him. What would you say to fans that think that right now, where we stand?
Well, I actually think we have a lot of great, open, honest, candid conversations. I think the narrative is probably more accurate to say there's a lot of frustration right now. I don't think anybody, including our fan base, thinks this is a 500 team. It's not not acceptable, not what we anticipated coming out of Fort Myers. Expectations internally, externally were a lot higher. So when that happens, when you fall short of expectations in the early going, I totally understand that you can point to different reasons. But the reality is we're just not getting it done yet, but we got a lot of confidence that this group is built to do a lot better than 500, and we got to get going. We got to start winning some series. That's the key thing. And start to push as we get into June.
And I know you're not Craig Breslow, you're not Alex Cora, but just from your perspective, what primarily what is driving that not being where you thought you might be at this point?
Well, we just haven't really. We sort of feel like we haven't clicked quite yet, and we've shown signs of it. We had that long Friday night game in Kansas City, and it was frustrating. And, you know, we had all those one-run losses to start the season. And it sort of felt like, all right, we're going to kick things into gear here. We win that series in Kansas City, and then all of a sudden we have that awful series in Detroit where we just got swept. It was tough. And then tough Braves series, come back. We win the series against the Mets that we're just coming off of, so that's a good sign. But it just doesn't feel like we're clicking on all cylinders. But I do believe this is a group that that will start to click and we'll get going here. But there's been a lot. There's been times when the bullpen has looked absolutely elite, time when we've struggled, times we've struggled on the bases, times we've taking that extra base and really put pressure on the defense with our speed and youth. So it's just been kind of been up and down. We just haven't found our groove yet, but hopefully we will. And no better time, as I said, when the calendar starts to turn to June.
Sam, did you guys underestimate the impact of Bregman coming in this offseason and being the third baseman as it relates to the chemistry in Rafael Devers?
Well, he's been outstanding. I mean, the play on the field obviously speaks for itself, but his leadership has been tremendous and just an incredible addition. So it's been just what the doctor ordered, and really, really glad that we have Alex Bregman in our lineup.
But I was asking specifically about the reaction to his addition. Did you guys maybe expect a reaction that didn't come to fruition when it came to what it meant for Devers and his roster spot?
No, I think, look, we have a job to do here, and that's do everything in our power to improve the team through player development, through trades, through signings. And that's exactly what we did. We went out and got a gold glover and a big bat, big right-handed bat, which is what we needed. And we're focused this offseason on doing everything we could to improve the team, and we absolutely did that by adding Alex Bregman.
Sam, when did it change the mindset of, like, innings pitched that starting pitches will go? Because is it an analytics thing, or is it something more of a training staff thing that these guys now, like, a quality start is, you know, like 4 or 5 innings where it used to be 7?
Yeah, it's a good question, Wiggy. I mean, each pitcher, it's pretty extraordinary, has a plan that goes back to the offseason, late October, November, all the way through spring training, and then into the season. There's a whole workload that's mapped out, and the number one goal is to keep guys healthy. And we've seen just this explosion of injuries in baseball, and especially related to pitchers. We all know, guys learning that missing bats is valued in the big leagues and going with max velocity, max spin rate, has created an environment where guys do get hurt. And so what we have to do is try to have guys miss bats, but also stay healthy and stay off of the IL. So it's been an industry problem, and we're all working to try and make sure that when you have a guy at the top of the rotation, you do everything you can to keep him healthy. So it's been going on the last several years, and something that everyone across baseball is tackling, and no one's found the golden ticket or solution to the issue. But the team that stays the healthiest usually is going to be there in the end.
As we sit here on May 22nd, do you guys have a firm final plan when it comes to first base?
No, I mean, right now we're, you know, you've seen guys like Abraham Toro and Nick Sogard and Romy stepping up, and guys are starting to work out there. There's been a lot of conversations internally, externally, just thinking about solutions, and those conversations continue. So no firm plan. Most importantly, we just got to try and run a group out there every night that's going to win ball games.
Did you feel like, we haven't had the chance to talk to you, Sam, since it happened. Did you feel like the trip to Kansas City with John Henry and yourself was productive? And what was your goal in your trip, and do you feel like it's been satisfied?
Yeah, I do, Chris. It was a really good trip. I mean, the purpose was to go out and make sure that we had a chance to visit with different members of the team and the staff and just reinforce the expectations from the very, very top of the organization. It was John Henry's idea to go out there and have a few different conversations, which we'll keep internal, but it was a very clear, candid message about our expectations, about our commitment to winning. And it was a really good visit, and I'm glad that we did it. You know, it was important point in the season, albeit early. We have an extreme sense of urgency. We have over these last couple of decades around winning, and John just wanted to express that message to the players and had several good conversations.
Is it safe to say, Sam, that Devers is going to stay at DH? It's not going to be a first base situation for him?
I think we'll continue to work through it, Courtney. No firm decisions are made. I think the most important thing is that he continues to do what he's doing in the middle of the lineup. And but look, everyone needs to do what's in the best interest of the team. And most importantly, that's, you know, getting the best out of everybody, including offensive production. You know, making a move from whether it's third base to first base or DH to first base, it's not the easiest thing in the world, but we're all pushing towards the same goal of getting everyone ready to be where they need to be to win games. And that's what we need to do. But Rafi's, you know, the guy is World Series champion. He's been in that clubhouse longer than anybody, part of the Red Sox family. We've known him since he was literally a teenage kid, and really, really support him. And also it's good to have honest and direct conversations that, you know, just probably best to have face to face.
We are well aware that Wiggy is easy to buy off. It cost you a bag of merch at spring training a couple of years ago. I have a coworker here who, quite frankly, I am tired of listening to whine on the radio.
I'm sorry, Greg.
Not you in this case, Curtis.
Okay.
with regard to the new City Connects, my guy, Rich Keefe, did not get one. Is it possible that we could shut him up by getting a jersey over here, the new City Connects?
We'll have to go back and scan the last 10 years of comments that Rich Keefe has made about the club. But assuming those all check out in the positive scale, then no problem.
Okay. And then I'm guessing probably, what is he, a large? And then he could just stop whining about it.
Yeah, other people have them at the radio station. I'm sure he'll just steal one if he doesn't get it.
Courtney. Ooh.
Those are $225, yeah. The City Connect jerseys. Yeah, I was looking at one.
Well, Wiggy, right. I'm sure the feedback is huge on those, right, Sam?
Yeah, well, they've been really, really popular, and kudos to the team and our group internally for putting it all together. I met the people from Nike that did the design, and literally they've been working on them for 3 years. It's pretty extraordinary what goes into it. But yeah, they came out great, and frankly a lot less controversial than, you know, I always think there's going to be. I guess I'm a kind of old school, you know, Red Sox home whites and road grays kind of person, and then you realize like these are not for, you know, not for those of us who have been around for a long time. It's about connecting Nike's new uniforms to the city. and the ballpark, and they've been extremely popular, especially with young fans, and that's the goal. So I'm glad people like them, and you'll see this practice continue.
All right. Yeah. Well, thanks for taking the time. We will talk to you again soon, and hopefully you are playing baseball in weather that is above 50 degrees or whatever it was yesterday.
Yeah. Welcome to Memorial Day weekend in New England, right? Unbelievable.
All right, Sam. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Take care.
Sam Kennedy. That was...
I had to. It was a layup. It was... I had to.
Yeah, I thought he was talking about you because you want a City Connect jersey.
No,
right?
I brought it up. I was the first to ask Sam about the City Connects, and I've liked them from the beginning. But when it was leaked online,
yeah,
I said,
that.
"Sam, there's. Can you confirm or deny
I
these?"
I think
are...
it was on the afternoon show, and you stole it.
No, I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that was a
Thank
while
you
ago.
For not forgetting.
And you were like, "Oh, them.
I like
the
them.
Jerseys and nice. The 225 for those jerseys. I looked
Pricey.
At them, and the sweatshirt." Is nice. And the other thing that's so nice that I ended up buying like a day after was the wool hats.
Oh.
The City Connect wool winter hats. Mm. Those are straight fire.
You're loaded up. You're full. You're Team Red Sox.
I mean, I'm team all sports, but like all local sports. I don't wear any other jerseys.
You love the Bo Sox.
Yeah, I got a ton of Celtics gear. I got a ton of Patriots gear.
You're a merch
gear.
Guy.
Yeah, but it's only for the local teams. I don't know. I feel awkward when I wear other team
All right.
sweatshirts.
We got to get to Courtney and to what is trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. The Red Sox dropped the last one to the Mets. 5-1 the final from Fenway. Garrett Crochet went 5 1/3, giving up a run on 5 hits while striking out 5. The guys now turn their attention to the Orioles at Fenway. First pitch at 6:45 with Lucas Giolito taking the mound. Brooksy will join Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's Perfecting the Art of Fresh. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 5:45 for the MassMutual pregame show. In the NBA, it took overtime in the Knicks giving up a 17-point fourth quarter lead, but the Pacers take one against the Knicks in New York, 138-135 the final. And in the NHL, the Stars take game one against the Oilers in Dallas, 6-3 the final in this one. Some sad news in the NFL. Colts owner Jim Irsay has died at the age of 65. He died peacefully in his sleep. And let love bloom in a new Subaru. SubaruofNewEngland.com. Explore up to 581 miles on a single tank in Subaru's most fuel-efficient Forester ever, the 2025 Subaru Forester Hybrid. Learn more at SubaruofNewEngland.com. That is what's trending.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Red Sox lose. Cora with a, he says, predictable, I think unpredictable, quick hook.
Yeah, felt like
on Garrett Crochet.
Yeah.
Alex Cora, never worried about today, always worried about tomorrow.
That's right.
It's the opposite of my my savings approach, Keith.
You're about the now.
I'm about the now. Live in the now. Uh-huh. Don't worry about tomorrow. But Cora with the long view on this one. I know you guys are fired up about it. And for more on it, we have Rob Bradford, WEEI.com, and the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. He's brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on. At McFarlaneEnergy.com. Rob Bradford, McFarlane, McFarlane to you.
Oh, McFarlane, it was so good to see you guys yesterday. I like taunting you through the window with all my steak tips and hot dogs.
Yeah, were you in line with Keith? Keith went out to that line like four different times.
Yeah, it was tough. I didn't never lined up with me to have a burger ready to go unless I wanted it super rare.
So now, I heard you guys had the excellent conversation about which would you rather have, like a hamburger, a hot dog, or one of each or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's two burgers or two dogs or one of each.
One of each.
That was the brilliant question.
Yeah, this is another thing we're going to have to get in the Red Sox baseball science department involved in. Mm-hmm. But I would ask you this. Would you want that? Would you have wanted that yesterday or the Red Sox City Connect jersey, which it sounds like you might be getting?
Well, I know. We're getting a little closer to that. It's been 0-4. I've been checking every day to see if they sent one over.
Sam Kennedy, right, according to what I heard, Sam Kennedy is pouring through tapes
now. I'm not loving that.
They're vetting your history.
He doesn't have to go back too far. He can go back an hour ago. He's not going to like what I said about the team. So
He probably also watched a Netflix documentary if he really wants a taste of it.
Given that as well, not shown in the best light, so I don't know. I don't know how confident I am in getting this this uniform. But the speaking of food, Bradford, let me ask you this: we always say on this show when teams are really kind of struggling, whether it's on field, off field, chemistry issues, they are in need of a pizza party because pizza parties bring people together. And right now, a game under 500, all kinds of communication issues. How in need of a pizza party are the Red Sox?
I'm always wary of the pizza parties because if you have the pizza party and you lose the next day, then you're screwed. You can't have another pizza party.
Well,
I mean, you can.
Some cold pizza. Leftover pizza.
Then the carbs start adding up, and then everyone gets sluggish, and then it goes start going the other way.
25 so, Rafi Devers's, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, don't. Whether you want to call it a pizza party or a team meeting, I would be very, very wary of that. But I do think the biggest thing here is that, like, last night was an example of they have some things to fix, and they got to fix them in a hurry. I mean, they just – this is one of the things besides the uniform talk or the jersey talk with Sam Kennedy. He said, listen, we're 500. No one expected to be this 500 team. We're mediocre. We got to figure it out. Well, it's late May. Yes, you do have to figure it out. And I'm about to publish something on EEI.com, just story going through the things they have to figure out, including, by the way, the Garrett Crochet thing.
Thank you.
Like, I don't know if you guys want me to rant on that.
Please. I'm happy to. Please. Rant away.
Yeah, well, so I think that, number one, okay, you know, I get it that Garrett Crochet, as we sit here right now, has thrown the most pitches in all of baseball. I get it that you're coming off the first full year as a starter where you only threw just over 140 innings. You knew that you would have to be careful. Everybody understood that you have to be careful. And I think the Cora thing, listen, Cora's the one that implemented it, that took him out of the game. But if you listen to Cora before the game, he actually references people, quote, smarter than him, talking about this Crochet, the protection of Crochet. This is before the game last night. This game that we thought he was going to pitch 13 innings and pull a Jack Morris, right, to save the bullpen. So before the game, he's referencing this. So to me, what that speaks to is this, I'll say, this baseball science department, this analytic department, which they're saying, this is the game, this is the time where we have to draw back on Garrett Crochet because this is what our models say. All right, here's the thing, baseball science department. This is what I would say. I would say the science suggests that was not the game to do it. The science suggests that you do it
in another time, in another way, but not in this time where you're probably talking about 15 more pitches, as I think you guys mentioned before. A time where you're desperately at a very important time to hold on to the momentum that you got from the previous couple times. And there's going to be other avenues to do that, to draw back on Garrett Crochet. I've seen it numerous times of pitchers where they're in the same situation. But I think that this is a perfect example of this is not a black and white issue. It shouldn't be when it comes to analytics in baseball. You should read the room, and part of reading the room was also that you knew of every game this year, this was the game your bullpen was the most depleted. So find a different way to do this, and I think that once again, before the game, there was a hint that this was already coming down the road from what Alex scores.
Okay, yes and no. I don't want to let Cora off the hook, because he also told WEEI Afternoons they were going to go 6 or 7 with Crochet. So, I'm sure analytics is rolled into it somewhere. Bradfoe, I'll agree on that. But let's give Cora his due on this one, because he's talking about 6 or 7 innings for Crochet going in. He's the one who pulled him while he looked fine in the 6th inning. He's also the one who, on his watch, we have the Rafael Devers saga, which has become very public. Prior to the game last night, he has Liam Hendricks questioning his usage. And then you have Crochet saying, I didn't know I was going to get a quick hook last night. He says he never knows. Maybe that's the case, maybe not. But there's a lot of public flare-ups with Cora. And I thought, if nothing else, he's supposed to manage all that stuff. And he seems to be doing a miserable job at that.
Yeah, so there's a lot to pick through, right? I mean, they're when it comes to the not telling Crochet, I don't have a problem with that. It is what it is. I mean, it's that you want Garrett Crochet to get to that point with a low pitch count, and then you go from there. You don't want him to go into that game feeling and like, oh, I have to pitch differently because of this. No, you just say, go out and get him, whatever. But I'll say it again. Like, Alex Cora was the one that took him out of the game. So, yeah, absolutely. When it comes to the communication issues, let's go through the Devers thing. I said this a million times. There's a lot of people at fault here. The front office, the manager's office, the obviously the player, all of this. This was a communications mess across the board. The Red Sox seemingly were walking on eggshells throughout spring training the minute that Rafael Devers did that, and it came back to bite him because Rafael Devers walked in the lack of accountability door that they left open. So that was the Devers thing, absolutely. I think with the Hendricks thing that you were talking about also, like, I don't know all the particulars to that. We're going to find out, I think, more about maybe that today. But I think that we go before the game yesterday as well. This is another thing that Cora referenced. He said, I have to pitch him more. I have to pitch him more. I have to pitch him more. And I'm always curious and wary when somebody says that. Well, you know, like, why are you not pitching him? And part of that equation, usually the answer is because of this tidal wave of analytics and suggestions that he's getting from the front office. And this is, hey, for better or for worse, managing in baseball, this is the deal. You have to manage this. You have to pick your spots. You have to find the way to put your foot down. And maybe he's just not putting his foot down at the right time. And maybe he'll do it a little bit differently going forward.
Would you say Cora's having a bad year?
I don't think he's having a good year compared to what he had in the past, no. Yeah.
Okay.
I think a lot of it...
On his scale, it's a bad year. On the Cora scale, it's a bad year.
No, I think Cora's a really good manager. I mean, I still do. But I think that all of the stuff that we mentioned, like this, it's the results business, right? Like, you have to, and part of the results comes from the manager's office, including, by the way, wins and losses.
Right.
I mean, however you get there, you can be a bad manager, you can be a great manager. At the end of the day, it's a results business. Like, you have to win. And in this case, this isn't last year. This isn't like, oh, that's relatively the same record as last year. No, it's not. It's not the same vibe. The expectations, the chips to the middle of the table, all of it, that was part of this equation, as Sam Kennedy referenced. And as the manager, you have to get the most out of the team, which he has in other years. But for whatever reason, maybe a lot of the reasons that we're talking about, he hasn't been able to.
Forget first base or second base for a second. At what point does our guy, Marcelo Meyer, just come up and take shortstop because Trevor Story's been so bad?
Well, so here's the problem. Marcelo Meyer is absolutely going to be part of the perceived solution. Like, this is their ace in the hole. This is they have to do things differently, and he is how you do things differently. He's played second base four of the last five games in Worcester. I think he's playing again today. Are they playing? I think they get canceled today. But the fact is that he is the guy that could be part of the solution. Now, where is that solution? Where is the most needed part for Marcelo Meyer? Which is kind of unfair to Marcelo Meyer to say, hey, come in and save this infield, which has this horrific OPS in the month of May. I mean, Trevor Story right now has the worst OPS of any player in baseball in the last month. I mean, from April 22nd to May 22nd, the worst OPS, not even close. That's the shortstop position. And now, part of the solution is you're working out Christian Campbell, who the Cora said the other day is at a 2.5 or a 3 to get to a 10 where you feel comfortable with him. And, okay, maybe he learns how to play first base, but the problem is that he's been really, really bad offensively in the month of May. I mean, really, like, I think his OPS is about 300-something in the month of May. So this kid is slumping. So, all right, he learns how to play first base. Does that solve your first base problem? Part of this is to get Marcelo Meyer his spot. But I think it's fair, like you asked, it's fair to say, where is he going to land?
Okay, you brought up Campbell and his struggles. Are they contributing to his struggles by bouncing him around second, outfield, now teaching him first? Is that contributing to his issues at the plate?
I don't like it. I didn't like it when he was going good and you were playing them in the outfield. Like, I didn't really get that, because he clearly needed work at second base. Analytically, he was one of the worst second basemen, even while he was hitting. So to move him back and forth, that can't help. And now you're integrating this dynamic, and he's a hardworking kid. He's a quick learner and everything else. But think about this. In this last week, he's played outfield, he's played second base, and by the way, almost the vast majority of his time before the game has been on the side learning how to play first base, another position as well. And, oh, but you also have to get out of this slump and start hitting. So to answer your question, Adam, like, I do. I don't like how they're moving around. And if that means to scale him back, not play him, even send him down a little bit to just get his mind right at this one position, then so be it. But it's not working out right now for him.
Better chance I get sent a City Connect jersey or they play tonight through the rain.
Oh, I think the Greg Hill pressure has been put on. So
nice.
You're getting that jersey.
All right, so better chance. So are you hearing anything about how they're going to try to manage? It's a four-game series with Baltimore, but the weather tonight and tomorrow both look terrible.
I love a good scuttlebutt, right?
Yeah.
So the scuttlebutt at the park yesterday was a doubleheader tomorrow.
That's going to impact the Jones and Keefe program.
Okay. Love that.
All right. Interesting.
Love that.
In the meantime, pack your rain.
You guys could do like an alt cast.
Alt cast. Yeah.
Good idea. Hogdale. Let's get Hogdale on.
It's a Friday. Hogdale can cover that. It's a Friday. Maybe it was a Wednesday. All right. Pack your rain jackets tonight. I'm sure they're not going to call it early. Bradford, we'll talk to you next Thursday. Thanks so much.
All right. I'll see you guys. Bye.
All right. Rob Bradford joining us here on WEEI.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to ExpressPros.com to find your location. That's ExpressPros.com.
Nerds.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
There may be clouds in the sky over friendly Fenway Park, but in Red Sox Nation, the sun is shining because your Sox have taken down the dreaded Mets 2 games in a row. And here now to talk on that and many other matters is, of course, the manager of your Boston Red Sox. Time now for WEEI Afternoons Alex Cora interview, which is, of course, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella, here for baseball fans, here for good, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Good afternoon, Alex. How are we doing?
I'm doing good. Really good.
So I got to get right to it. Are you a little concerned that the seat could be getting a little hot now that you know you got a 2-0 bench coach turned interim manager behind you? Or perhaps, what about this? Are you now going to be the opening manager for the Red Sox?
That'd be great, right? I can do that. I think me and Ramon, we've been together since 2018. I think he's the only other coach left from that team.
Yep.
I know Ramon since 1996. We started playing winter ball in
no
Puerto
way.
Rico. And he has a great mind. He understands how we do things here. To be honest with you, on Monday – I just call him to talk about something else other than baseball. Yesterday, I got thrown out. He knew what he had to do, and it was a great – I mean, we won the series, and hopefully we can sweep them tonight.
Heck yeah.
Just to give you a heads up, we have our third host who's at home, so he'll be chiming in as well, Alex. Just want to let you know. But last night was fun. You got a little dust up with the home plate umpire.
Yeah.
You know, you went in there with a finger point. I didn't know.
Fired up.
What did you make of that? I mean, the home umpire, Mike, was it Easterbrook? Did he, when once he took the mask off and he started going towards the mound, did you say, oh, all right, now I got to get up and
have
my boys back? Or how'd that play out?
So Lindor takes off. He's still second. Ramon is looking at, he calls Mike Brantley, our replay official, calls him, and I'm looking back, you know, towards Ramon to see if he gives him the go ahead and challenge or the go ahead and move on to the next play. So when I turn to move on to the next play, I see Walk arguing with him, and all of a sudden, boom, he threw him out. I'm like, no. Oh. I mean, like, he just came out of the IL. The night before, we used our bullpen. We were very short yesterday. And my point was, especially with a veteran umpire, that's a veteran group, you know, just give me a chance to go there and you throw me out. You know, like,
right.
I'm not going to throw a pitch. I'm not going to hit a home run, you know. My only impact is managing the game, and you saw what happened the last 2 days, right? don't throw him out. And he did, and that's what my argument was. And then he threw me out, and then I let him know that, you know, he wasn't that good in the first inning anyways.
Some words were exchanged that we can't share here, I imagine.
Alex, Andy? Is that a fine line? Because I know Walker Buehler seemed a little, I don't know if disappointed in himself is the right word, but he realized he put his bullpen and his team in a tough spot. And you seem the same way. I heard you talking about, you know, Dave Dombrowski telling you that, you know, you only impact the game if you're sitting on the bench, so not in your office. Is that a fine line as both a player and a manager, that emotion versus the fire versus the smart head?
Yeah. And if you talk to Walk, he'll let you know that, you know, he probably crossed the line, and we need him at least for 5. But it is what it is. The bullpen was amazing yesterday. They threw the ball extremely well. We got 2 big swings, one from Carlos, one from Rafi, and we ended up winning the game. From my end, that's something that I always think about it. And Dave was the one in 2018, game one of the ALCS. He's like, hey, man, I pay you to be in the dugout, not in the office. I'm like, okay, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yes, sir. And we still talk about it when I talk today. So I don't like getting thrown out. I think it's 18 times. Booney gets thrown out 18 times a year.
And Savage is in the box.
Yeah, I'll give him stuff about it, you know. But we have different personalities. You saw me punching the bullpen phone, whatever. There's a lot
and
of
somewhere David Ortiz was like, yes.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of pictures of that, but at the end of the day, we won the game. That's the most important thing.
So this must have been kind of like a bit of an emotional moment for you as well, because Walker, you're not there on Monday. Now you come back. It's Mets Red Sox, which has some juice to it. Big win on Monday. Walker Buehler makes his return. He's a feisty guy in the first place. He and Lindor have beef from last postseason when he walks off the mound very demonstratively after striking him out. Big strikeout, although I like the Verdugo one better. And then now he gets rung up, and the Lindor, like, that kind of a thing. And I know you and Lindor are friends, so that
must we have breakfast. We have breakfast this morning. And I saw the clip of him, like, throw him out. And then they threw him out.
Yeah.
But then Trevor told me that after Walker got thrown out, Lindor was doing the same thing with me.
Yeah.
Like, throw Alex out. They threw him out. So Francisco didn't tell me that this morning, but it's all fun and games, man. It's a game that, you know, you're allowed to show emotions, and I have to protect my players, you know. And in that instant, it was hard to swallow because I knew where we were. But Bernie came in, did the job. Whitlock did the job. Wise, Slayton, Chappie. And the cool thing is we won the game. But we'll see how we figure out today. Well, we got the big boy pitching, right? We got Garrett on the mound, so hopefully he can go deep into the game. And we don't have to use as many relievers as the last 2 days.
You talk about the last 2 days. I mean, two starters and then 10 relievers in the last two games. The bullpen, recent.
And Sunday, too.
And Sunday, too. Just, I mean, but they really showed out the last couple games. Do you see maybe turning the corner for the bullpen? What do you see now these guys last
week? Yeah, I think it's the season. This is how it works, right? It just happened that we went to Toronto, we blew two saves, and then we played Minnesota, we blew two saves. So it was four out of five games, you know. If you split them up, it doesn't look horrible, right? One this week, one next week, one 3 weeks from now, and then a month from now. But everything happened so fast. It was Whitlock, it was Slayton, big boys in the bullpen, and we were kind of like, trying to find solutions, right? But if you look the last few weeks, Slayton has been amazing. Amazing. Chapman has been solid. Weiser has come up huge for us. Whitlock still a work in progress. Like I said, coming out of surgery, we have to be smart with him. Justin Wilson, key for us. That lefty, getting lefties and righties out. He's a veteran guy that we have to take care of, but he's been solid. Bernie had that bad one against Atlanta. He came in, he walked the world. That never happens, and he's been solid. So we have a good group. The most important thing here, and as you guys know, for the bullpen to be good, solid, and fresh over an extended period of time, we need the starters to go deeper into the game. I think that's the next step. We cannot live with 4 2/3 every night. It's not October. In October, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You do your thing, and you use everybody. But in the regular season, especially in stretches like this that we play 13 games in a row, it's not sustainable. It's very hard. So hopefully today the big boy goes 6-7 and we can reset the bullpen.
Alex, as a guy who's broadcasting from the home studio today to attend a senior award tonight for his son, I get the family pull sometimes for these jobs that are commitments to us. Just wanted to ask you, the decision Monday to go to your daughter's graduation, was that an easy one? And what was your response to some of the backlash, I guess, you got from it?
It was very easy. People talk about my sacrifices as a manager. Yeah, missing a soccer game, missing whatever, whatever she had going back home in Puerto Rico. How about the sacrifices she has made over 22 years because your dad is a public figure and he's a baseball player and he's a baseball coach, right? There's a lot of sacrifices, you know, and for me it was kind of like pay it forward, you know, and, you know, hopefully we have to do it again for grad school. And then, I don't know, the twins are 7, so whenever they graduate from high school, I will go to that one. I don't know if I'm going to be managing. If I'm managing, I'm going to that one, and then I'll do the same thing. We all have families. We all have principals. This is my job. This is not my life. My life is my family, and she wanted us to be together, so we did that, and we had a blast, you know. I cannot change the mindset of people, you know. I'm just just me, you know, and, you know, for those who didn't like it, well, you know, I'm not going to try to change their mind. I'm just going to keep living my life.
You know, we're big family guys here on this show as well. We're talking to Alex Cora, Red Sox manager, here on WEEI Afternoons from the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. We're big family guys. We try to make it to every game. We coach football. We coach baseball. Some of us won 3 Super Bowls, et cetera. But if you didn't notice the Ted in the room. But, you know, like to me as well, you're not defined by your job or your work. That's part of your legacy, but you're defined by your actions and, of course, how you treat others. And that shows us that you're a big family man as well. And we love that, and I think that resonated in Red Sox Nation. But just for fun, hypothetically speaking, if, I don't know, some person who made a bigger deal about it, you know, in town, were here, what would you like to say to him?
No, I'm good.
Okay, yeah. Okay, all right. But now, okay, good. I just wanted to put that out. But now back to the game. Last night, to me, I think the Walker Buehler incident last night, Alex, could be a bit of a touchstone moment. I think in a lot of ways the fact that your team was emotionally rallied and came around you and came around Walker Buehler and held that lead last night, I got Joe Kelly Fight Club vibes off of that. And that was a big moment back in 2018 for you guys.
That was the moment. I mean, I know we got the brand somewhere here.
Oh, yeah, there he is.
Bradford, he's there. Right there.
He's hanging low in the
that weeds. That was a big moment because it was my first Yankee Red Sox game as a manager.
Oh wow!
You know, it was electric over the weekend, and we did that. You know, Joe, I think they slid hard into Brock Holt at second. There was a lefty that now he's pitching for the Braves that grabbed the bullpen phone and called called to the bullpen and gave some instructions, and they executed. That was fun in a sense, right? Because I felt like after that, we kind of like took off. You know, it was our first big moment as a group. I know Joe had a blast that whole week when he got suspended, doing a lot of things. But as a team, I'm not saying we have to go out there and fight. Whatever. We can go back to 08. Remember, yep. Tampa Bay, we got into it. And took off from that moment on. Mm-hmm. I think we took off in that series. And hopefully, you know, with Walker yesterday and the whole phone, the bullpen phone and all that stuff, we can take off. It'll be fun to do that.
04 and Tech with Tech and A-Rod.
Yeah, that one.
There were those little moments.
There's always moments like that.
Sparks 2001. We always go back to the Jerome Pathan hit with Brian Cox as well. Yep. Like, boom, that's when it happened.
30 points. Just to take a little bit of a right turn here, Alex, I have an obsession with first base. And it's obviously that position hasn't been quite settled yet. But there's a thinking out there that the way Rafi's hitting maybe precludes him from playing first base, that you don't want to mess with him and his hitting. Is there something to that? And just your thoughts so far on where the first base situation is?
Yeah, I think right now, like I always said, I think I've been saying this every Wednesday. Today is Sogar playing first base. We got Toro. That's the duo that is taking over at first. And we're going to give him every chance to keep playing and doing their job. Christian Campbell is taking ground balls. You know, he looks okay, but it's only 4 days, you know. And the thing about all this is, like, we will never know until they step onto the field. And as you know, there's going to be situations that will come up in the game that you can never practice, right? And we're going to make mistakes. And we got to be smart about it. The health part of it, too, is something important. With Rafi, he's doing an outstanding job. Right now, he's the best hitting DH the best DH, of course, in the American League. You OPS, on base percentage, RBIs, homers. I mean, he's having a great season, and we'll keep talking.
So as Christian Campbell takes some drills and ground balls before he gets into game action, we look down in Worcester, and Marcelo Meyer is playing some second base down there. Can we tie those two things together and say if Christian Campbell goes to first base, there's a good chance Marcelo Meyer could come up and play second?
I think as an organization, we're preparing for everything, right? Like I said a few days ago, the whole KC at first base is just to introduce him to the position, see how it looks, see how he moves, and if he's comfortable, maybe in time, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months, whatever, we can play him there. Versatility helps, right? And it's the same thing with Marcelo in the minor leagues. He can play second, he can play short, he can play third. He wants to get to the big leagues. You know, if you tell Marcelo, hey, if you catch for a week and, you know, if you catch for a week and then we call you to the big leagues to do that. Will you do it? Of course. He'll say, yeah, I'll do that and more. So we're trying to be as flexible as possible, versatile as possible, and I think in the long run he's going to help us.
I know you got to go. You got a big game that's starting in just over 4 hours. But in regards to tonight's, obviously looking for a big one from Crochet. Anyone coming up or coming down to help out the pen?
No. We're staying put. Obviously, a little short, but there's guys that are available. You know, Liam hasn't pitched. Witt can give us an inning. Bernie can go out there and give us an inning. So, you know, hopefully the big boy goes 6 or 7, and then after that we can cover 3 and win the game.
Or maybe gets his first complete game in the majors in a Sox uniform. Wouldn't that be nice? We always appreciate the candor, the humor, and the insight very much, Alex. Good luck tonight, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Thank you, guys.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora joining Ted Johnson, Andy Harter, Nick Fitzy-Stevens here on WEEI Afternoons. Brought to you, of course, by Shaw's and Star Market, Arbella, and John Sewer and Drain Cleaning. We'll react to some of Alex's comments, as well as last night's game. And then, of course, we're just moments away from the three-point stance in the 3 o'clock hour. Big Ted, Andy, and Fitzy here on WEI Afternoons from the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studio.
Finally, Memorial Day weekend is here, and we are at the Lobster Trap in Bourne on the Cape for roadshow number 2 with a whole bunch of incredible Cape Cod people. Woo! And you guys are awesome for being here. Thanks for coming out last night.
This is insane. I didn't even realize the whole room behind us was full.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's awesome. Yeah. And it's a nor'easter to right. boot.
So. And they knew Ken was going to be here.
Yeah, right. Well, they're probably only here because they don't have power at home. But right. But I'm fine with that.
We're a soup kitchen with the radio show.
Road shows this season brought to you by Miller Lite. It is Miller time, New England, by Harbor One Bank. When it comes to business, they know business like nobody's business. And by Absolute Ocean Spray Vodka Cranberry Sparkling Cocktails, because some collaborations are just destined to be born to mix. And also by Land Rover Norwood, where everything is different. And Courtney and I certainly thank them for loaning us our Defenders every road show. And that is an unbelievable vehicle.
Can I just tell you, the Springfield show, amazing Defender. This one?
Oh, yeah.
This is my dream car.
It is?
It is the perfect color on the outside for me. It's like a peanut butter guts on the inside. It drives unbelievable. The wheel is so cool. I was texting Eddie Fast Eddie. I'm like, this is my dream car. I don't know. I don't want to ask what the price is because why ruin my dreams?
Tell Santo to cough it up.
Yeah. I don't know. Is it the
fully loaded one, the new one?
I don't know if
it's costs about $140.
No, I don't think it on my keys it says like vintage. I think this is an old version. Greg has the new version of the Land Rover. I think this is one of the older ones. So maybe it's a bit discounted.
Yeah, maybe about a hundred.
I'm going to dream about this car, and I'm worried that if I give it up, somebody else is going to buy it.
Oh, that thing's gonzo.
You should buy it.
Yeah, that thing is gonzo.
Do I lease it?
Yeah, especially with the peanut butter guts.
I love it.
Right. Maybe just don't go to Ojai Valley for a week. And then
But that's fun, too. Okay.
All right. On the show this morning, Rob Ninkovich will be here next hour, and we will talk with the former New England Patriot about this upcoming season and about the tush push and all things football with Rob Ninkovich at 8:20 this morning here. And then the actor and the rapper Slane will be here at 9 this morning. But I have a lead left, and it is my lead involves a friend of the show, so I may be a little biased on this. But yesterday, Liam Hendricks, who had an unfortunate outing for the Red Sox the other evening, took to social media, and here is what he wrote. Just as an FYI, threats against my life and my wife's life are horrible and cruel. You need help. Leaving comments telling me to commit suicide and how you wish I died from cancer is disgusting and vile. Maybe you should take a step back and reevaluate your life, your life's purpose before hiding behind a screen attacking players and their families, whether you do it from your fake accounts or you're dumb enough to do it from your real accounts. I think I speak for all players who have had to deal with this in their career when I say enough is enough. good for Liam.
Wow. Yeah.
Good for Liam Hendricks.
It perfectly sure. said, I want to say something so bad, but Jackson would have to drop me.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Can I do it?
No.
Okay.
He's already had to do that once today.
Get an effing life. If you are leaving comments on somebody's Instagram telling them to commit suicide or wishing that they died from cancer, you are the problem. You are a loser. If any of you were dating somebody and you saw their social media that they were commenting on Liam Hendricks' wife's Instagram saying, kill yourself? Like, that is the most disgusting low-life activity of all time. And we've all been there. We've all gotten mean DMs, mean comments saying disgusting things.
Never.
These are professional athletes. Get a life. If you have enough time in your day, if you have enough hate in your heart to go leave comments like that on somebody's – you don't know what they're doing. Imagine if you did that on Jaren Duran's Instagram 3 years ago, and then you woke up one morning and you read a headline that said, Jaren Duran commits suicide. You have to live with that for the rest of your life. People have gotten too far out over the edge. They need to reel it in. And I don't know the answer. I don't know how to fix things, but we have a mental health crisis in this country right now, and this is not helping. This is so disgusting.
Right. I gave you the answer.
Right.
When you sign up for social media, whatever platform it is, you have to put your real name and you so people know exactly who you are. You can't have a fake account.
But even if Liam Hendricks knows the real name of somebody who told him to commit suicide, what can he do about it?
He can't do anything about it. But
the Eagles game.
Yeah.
You could get the person that was so obscene with the fan at the Packers fan, maybe. I don't remember.
Yeah.
At the game, that guy was put on blast.
Right.
Because, and lost his job or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Because actions have consequences. And we have made a decision as a society to enable cowards.
Yep.
And it is just so pathetic. The reason these are so great, because, you know, it's a great idea. You know, we like to go meet people. But absent these events, there are days where I get home and all I keep replaying is what people have said to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you believe it because you're living your life. You're trying to get, and then you're mad at yourself for thinking about the guy that said, I wish you never stopped drinking.
Yeah.
And so then you're like, and eventually you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I wouldn't want anything different. Greatest job I've ever had, but the only job I ever wanted. But we decide every day, Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, pretty powerful guys. They're friends with the president. Simple. When you sign up for certain things, I have to get my real ID. I have to basically give a blood sample.
Right.
Like, you can figure it out. A digital, we all have the face thing for our phones.
Yeah.
They know it's us. It's never been easier to verify somebody's identity, yet we continually allow people to have power absent identity.
Is it worse in the case of Liam Hendricks, who blew that game the other night? Is it, do you think the comments are worse because of wagering and because people are losing money?
No, people have just never been, it's just men are lonely and don't get laid. And so they sit there.
He's right here.
I'm engaged to be married, Greg. No, I don't know what you're talking
about. I think it's part of it, Greg. I think it's part of it.
If you were dating someone in a happy life, would you ever tell somebody else to kill themselves?
No, it's not because of wagering. Because
no, no, I said I think it's part of it.
Nobody's telling me to kill myself because of wagering.
But I think, like, for athletes, because we just had a baseball player that it happened to before Liam Hendricks. I forget who it was.
Jaren Duran in Cleveland.
Well, we also talked about it at spring training with the Lucas Giolito,
right.
Yeah. Right?
And he was talking about how he gets death threats.
And I think part of it is the fact that now there are a lot of people that, you know, bet, and so there are people out there, if they lose $100, it for them it's a lot of money in the end of the world because of whatever reason. So then they instantly go to Twitter because it's much easier to say stuff when you're behind a fake profile and nobody knows your name and that kind of stuff. It's much easier to say what you want, and then people are going to say, well, I got the right to say what I want to say.
Yeah.
We need to get back to whooping ass.
Yeah,
that's what we need to do.
What we misunderstand is the freedom of speech allows you to say everything and anything you want.
Yeah.
But you still can face ramifications for what you say. Like, I can run around and call people names, well, they can go tell Ken that I'm an a-hole and I can lose my job.
Right. And I just don't understand what it does for the person leaving the comments. Like, do you go to bed at night and feel better about yourself? No. If I've ever been mean to somebody, it weighs on me just as much. And I think for Liam Hendricks, if any of these losers saw him in person, they'd ask for his autograph.
They will,
It's so yeah. crazy.
We got to get back to chin checking.
Yeah. All right. Those are...
I'm serious. You get back to chin checking people for saying stuff out in public, and then people be like, well, I might have to be careful, because not only do they know who I am, somebody might show up at my door one day and chin check me for something I said.
But not only can you not do that, it's then the guy who is originally saying the terrible things gets beat up and then starts filing lawsuits.
Yeah, but see, that's where the courts need to step in and say, words are just as bad as physical violence. So he initiated, like Florida, I got the right to stand my ground and defend myself, to chin check that MF-er.
All right. I was recently chin checked and they found two of them. We're at the Lobster Trap in Bourne, and it is roadshow number two. And coming up, Curtis has some show trivia as opposed to guest leads, idea by Curtis. And so we have limited edition. We have two versions of the limited edition Roadshow trucker hats. And if you're able to answer a question about this show coming up, then you can go home with one of those and be ready for a rainy Memorial Day weekend. But right now, Courtney, and what is trending this hour?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Ortho Laser. The Red Sox game was rained out yesterday, so today we've got a doubleheader. 1:35 first pitch for game numero uno. The second game is at 7:10. Brooksy joining Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Kick things off with Joe Weil at 12:30. MassMutual pregame show for the first game. Then the afternoons will be on in between games, and Arcan has the second pregame at 6:10. In the NBA, the Thunder go up two games on the Timberwolves in the Western Conference Finals. 118-103 the final. SGA led the guys with 38 points. Game two of the East is tonight in New York. Tip is at 8. While in the NHL, Brad Marchand and the Florida Panthers shut out the Hurricanes 5-0 in North Carolina to go up two games in their series. And that was brought to you by Ortho Laser New England. If joint pain has you sidelined, do what Lou Merlone did. Get back in the game without surgery at Ortho Laser New England. Online at ortholaserne.com. That is what's trending.
In regards to tonight's, obviously looking for a big one from Crochet. Anyone coming up or coming down to help out the pen?
No. We're staying put. A little short, but there's guys that are available. You know, Liam hasn't pitched. Witt can give us an inning. Bernie can go out there and give us an inning. So hopefully the big boy goes 6 or 7, and then after that we can cover 3 and win the game.
So it's interesting to go back to Alex Cora every Wednesday on WEEI Afternoons. You heard the question from Fitzy there. If you missed any of the interview, go back and dissect it. It's a little different than how Cora acted it out. Audacy app, AUDACY. Get that on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. 6 or 7 out of the big boy. Hopefully that's what we get, and then we piece together. He says 3 innings, but if it's 7, you only need 2.
Right. How about 5 and a third?
How about 7? How about I had guys warming up in the 5th, then I let him come back out for the 6th. He got 1 out, no problem. Struck out Soto for the 3rd time, by the way.
Yikes.
Bases are empty. I really only need 2 more outs out of him to get what I said, and we don't do it. It's a season low pitch total, 85. What were your scenarios you laid out earlier, Keith? You're like, there's only three options
when you take into account what he said at 2:30 on WEEI Afternoons yesterday, and then what he said post-game and sort of his actions. Uh-huh. So there's only three options. Uh-huh. One, he changed his mind, or the stats guys told him after 2:30,
like,
here's
the new plan. We were listening.
We have a new plan.
We were listening to your weekly interview, and you know what? Yeah. You said 6 or 7 innings. No, new plan. Yeah. Okay. Somebody came running down the stairs.
New plan. Gamesmanship.
Yeah.
He thought you knew the Mets might be listening, and they were like, oh, guys, if he said, hey, it's going to be a short start for him, they're like, just take a bunch of pitches, get him out of the game, blah, blah, blah. So gamesmanship.
Yeah.
Number three, just a liar. He just lied. He just lied to them.
That doesn't sound like Cora to me.
Lied to the listeners.
Yeah.
All right, people are tuning in. They want to hear what Cora has to say about the club.
Yeah.
And he's like, 6 or 7. Nope. No. Maybe, Crochet said 7 or 8.
Maybe he's like, no. As you said earlier, he's this guy. He's a bit of an Ashton Kutcher. He likes to punk people.
He punked.
He just sits around.
He punked everybody.
And he kind of gets in there after the game. He's like, I fooled you guys.
Why was that? Why would you do that? What was the point?
I was just joshing, guys. I said 6 or 7.
Terrible. But so, they'll be well rested. That he'll have all the bullets in the chamber come playoff time.
Look,
which at this rate, they will not make.
I disagree with Bradfoe on this decision last night was, you know, almost purely analytics based. But I do think Bradfoe's answer speaks to a schism, if you will, or some disagreement between Cora and Breslow and his staff. And yeah. When I say disagreement, I don't even mean specifically on that decision. I just mean it's not that far off from Cora Bloom. Which we know got bad at the end of that tenure. And it was kind of Bloom blaming Cora, Cora blaming Bloom. I mean, we might be back there with this guy.
Does this happen every time a GM doesn't pick the coach or manager? Or like 90% of the time?
Yeah, good point.
It's one of those
weird
situations.
Traditionally you hire them together.
Dave Dombrowski inherited John Farrell. Didn't keep him for super long, right? Then you have...
that's a good point.
And then you have Chaim Bloom didn't hire Alex Cora. That was the opposite happened, right? The front office decided to keep the manager and not the chief baseball officer. Then they brought in a new one. And therefore he also didn't hire the manager. So, yeah, I can't imagine they're all in lockstep. I'm not saying they need to agree on everything, but... Usually when the GM picks the manager, they're more in lockstep with some of the big picture things, more so than I feel like these two guys would be.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I also think when it comes to the decision last night to get Crochet out of there, I would hope analytics, and maybe they're too rigid to do this, but I'd hope they'd say, hey, we were planning on doing this for weeks and weeks at a time, but oh, by the way, you know what? Our pitcher, wrongfully so, This is why I blame Bueller at the time, because apparently it impacted Crochet and I didn't even know it.
The ump got him.
But, by the way, our starter got pulled early, and so we're going to need to lean on the big guy in this start.
Can't do
and it. Let's rework our models. But I think there is some of that going on, and I don't know who to blame on that one.
But this is why I think overall I think Cora is having a bad year. And I know Bradford wouldn't want to go full there. He's just like he's not as good as he has been. But it can't.
That's his way of saying it's a bad year, but he wouldn't commit to saying
it.
Well,
but it is. It's a bad year.
It's absolutely a bad year for Cora.
And players can have a bad start and turn it around. I think managers can as well, right? Like, if we're going to look at him, we're going to sort of grade them out. Like, what's been good about it? Your team is wildly underachieving, and you have all these communication issues.
Well, thank you.
That's what it comes down to, too, because the baseball manager is supposed to deal with that. Because with the exception of football, I don't necessarily attach a ton of wins and losses to the hockey head coach, the basketball head coach, and the baseball manager. Not to say they have zero importance. I just think it's not the same that it is in the NFL. But for baseball, the long grind of the season, it's about making sure your players are ready to play, making sure the communication's good, making sure the clubhouse is good, and then therefore you give your best chance on the field. He's not doing that. Like, he's not doing that now. And in previous years when the team sucked record-wise, you were like, all right, who do you want him to pitch? Like, who does he have? What's his best lineup? This year, it's different. There's so many different things. And if a lot of the things are out of his control, then, like, what's the point?
Well, I agree with that. You know, if all you do is manage to, you know, the roster's level. I said this about Cora the last couple of years. If all you're doing is just managing the roster's level, I thought you're supposed to elevate what you have, right? So they had a losing record 2 years ago. They were 500 last year. They were way above 500 for stretches, but they finished 500. And it's like, okay, if you have a 500 roster and the manager gets you to 500, what exactly is the benefit of the manager? Now he's been paid. Now he has an extension. And they've committed to him. And they have all kinds of communication issues. If you want to let Cora off the hook to a degree, because Crochet never wants to know the situation going in, which Crochet willingly volunteered last night, fine. But I would add that one to my personal list. When Crochet says, yeah, I had no idea I was coming out there, I would add that to the list of communication issues. The Devers one is self-evident. Like,
We don't need to analyze that one.
That one is a massive communication issue. I don't think that's just Cora, but I do think Cora's the one who has the expertise, and his specialty should be getting you out of that and maneuvering through it. And I think he went completely hands-off where Breslow and Henry had to get in the middle of it, which I think is wild. And a reflection of his poor communication this year, meaning Cora. Then you have Liam Hendricks.
Yeah, why not?
And Hendricks went out, and it was not good timing on his part.
Terrible timing.
To vent to the Globe before the game, go out and look great in the sixth, and then fall apart in the seventh. But this is more of a communication issue, just more evidence of it. Regardless of whether you think Cora should pitch Hendricks more, whether you think Hendricks is right and he should be out there more, regardless. This is before the game. Liam Hendricks believes he should be used more. If the theory is you want the best me, throw me.
Yeah.
No rhyme or reason. I have no idea about his usage. It's actually a source of contention that I've had with the team, and I've had multiple conversations about that.
Well, this is, and not to give an excuse for Cora, but Hendricks, his best years in the bigs, he was a closer. This year, he probably thought he had a chance to be the closer. He was not great in spring. Chapman's been good, so Chapman's the closer. So he's talking about no rhyme or reason. Well, Chapman has a defined role. And even like Whitlock probably has more of a defined role than what Hendricks does. So Hendricks has kind of become a floater. And when he first came up, I think, what was it, his first appearance, I think he gave up a run or two. And then he was pretty good for a while. Now, these last two appearances, he's not been good. No, so you're right. The timing of it is poor.
I think even after his last outing, his ERA was still in the low threes. That's not great, yeah. But I think it was like 330-something going into last night.
Yeah, right. So now it's 5.5.
Yeah, now it's ballooned after last night.
But his very first appearance of the year was back on April 20th. He gave up two runs in an inning. But then he hadn't given up a run until this past Friday. But, yeah, it's hard to know when he's going to pitch. He clearly doesn't know when he's going to pitch, which sort of speaks to the communication there. So that's another thing that Cora has been struggling with.
Well, I just even if you want to blame analytics for some of these decisions, I mean, how do you put that one on the front office and the decision? Like Cora, in terms of communicating to his play, you now have, and these are just the ones we know about.
Yeah,
like who knows what guys behind closed doors are keeping to themselves? We know Crochet's like, yeah, I had no idea, right. And that's a minor one. We know Hendricks is pissed about his role, and we know Devers has been pissed from day one.
Well, and Devers and Hendricks are two like veteran guys, so they don't really have a problem saying anything. But you can only imagine maybe some of the other guys that are like, I'm not going to say anything yet. Right. But like Christian Campbell. Somebody talking about Christian Campbell. They're like, hey, we know you're learning to hit major league pitching. We're going to play you at second and the outfield. And oh, by the way, nobody else wants to play first, and so now you're playing first. So like, yeah, you got to hit better, but we also need you at like four different defensive spots. That's not great.
Right. If you...
You think he's thrilled? I'm sure he's, like, just happy to be here. Right. Like, very much so, the definition of. But there's no way it's helping him.
I bet he's keeping it to himself. But, yeah, if you gave him the truth serum, What do you think Christian Campbell would say? These are just guys on the record complaining about their situations. These are just the ones we know about. So I bet it's a lot worse behind the scenes.
And then the losing's just going to compound this. Because if somehow, some way, they were 11 games over 500... and Liam Hendricks was like, I don't even know what I'm going to pitch. We'd be like, all right, well, calm down.
Right.
But, like, the team sucks, and then it just sort of also speaks to, all right, well, is anybody talking to anybody in there? Like, what is going on a day-to-day basis?
And right, and it's on the heels of we're complaining about the bullpen and how nobody's available in the bullpen and how are you going to get out of this, and he complains about that going into the game. Real quick, I don't agree with this. I don't think you do either, Keith.
Yes.
Jones, the Devers situation is purely on Breslow. Like
I do put on Breslow. Like you didn't have a backup first baseman at all. They didn't have one. Okay, once you get into camp and you're like, here's our 40-man roster, you need to be prepared for if somebody goes down. All right, what's our short-term solution? What's our long-term solution? And you didn't have one at first base. And so Casas, who already missed 100 games a year ago, this drives me nuts. This is, yes, Breslow is at fault for that. But based on who you have, Cora needs to know who's going to slide over to first. And if the question was ask Devers to do it, you should have asked him 3 months ago. You should have asked him before. Now he's trying to play like the middle game where he's like, Breslow and Henry are now going to handle this. And he's sort of defending Devers because he doesn't want Devers mad at him. But it's like, you can't just keep trotting out Toro and Sogard.
No. And to me, I applaud Breslow and Henry for trying to get in there because Cora wasn't getting it done.
Cora didn't ask him.
I mean, he took a complete hands-off approach. If we're taking him at face value, you're right. He didn't ask him and said he doesn't plan on asking him. So Breslow marched downstairs and was like, I'll ask him then. I'm going to sit down with him. And that pissed off Devers, but that's because of Cora's lack of communication, which is a significant problem. There's a communication issue for sure.
Is that might be your best comeback ever. A combination of music and audio. Will Middlebrooks, Will Fleming, flummoxed.
no idea what was going on out there. And yes, this is a song about Fitzy lying. We were lied to.
Mm-hmm.
We were lied to by the manager.
We were hoodwinked, bamboozled.
Would you prefer to believe we were lied to by the manager, or the manager has no say and received his walking orders after he rode the golf cart back from our center field Ford Clubhouse Studios?
I want to and need to believe it's the latter.
So we can keep our personal relationship with him. He'd be like, guys,
just to think that he
shrug emoji, what do you want me to do? Breslow set it down at 2:45.
That he wouldn't do that to us. I mean, maybe there was some
high-level
thinking that he was going to go 85 pitches and that he could get six or... I mean, if Garrett Crochet, he hasn't been the most economical pitcher all year.
No.
To think that he was going to go seven innings, 85 pitches, what is he? He's only going to average 12 pitches an inning?
If he believed that, I don't think he throws that out there hypothetically. Like, if he knows any word of 85 pitches in the back of his mind that's been talked about, it's been circled. That's the other thing. He made it sound like, very definitively, no, this was on the calendar, basically. Like, this was looked at weeks in advance, days in advance. This wasn't some last-minute
thing.
There's
no way that he didn't know, pardon the double negative.
Which I also would say, didn't he tell us that he played it one way in Toronto against Vlad and would do it differently in the ALCS? So he believes there are different circumstances in games, right?
Correct.
So if you circled yesterday, May the 21st, on your calendar, Crochet's going, we're going to limit him to 85 pitches that day. Just arbitrarily, we picked it for whatever reason.
Skip, what if we need the win big time so we can sweep the Mets and build momentum after you being out for two nights?
And what if that start comes after two games in which the bullpen had to throw a boatload of innings and they,
what
are
they afraid of?
Dead.
What are they afraid of? That's a high-level question we need to ask. What
the
are
monkeys
they
in The Wizard of Oz.
Heights.
Oh.
Intimacy.
Are we doing me or are we doing them?
We're doing them.
What
are they afraid
of? Sounded a lot
like
me, all three of those.
It did. They did. What are they afraid of with Crochet?
Him being,
he's already had surgery. What are they afraid of? He's got a bad back.
Innings, going high innings, not being ready to go, having to monitor him late in the year when the games are more important, although we kind of know they're not more important.
Don't you need to actually win now to make those games more important?
You do, and the games they're really dreaming of, those games that he doesn't even voice, those games that could result in him putting the Wally helmet on, those games, you don't get to those games if you don't win enough of these games. Because right now, what place are you in?
Third. I'm now.
Are you the wild card?
No.
So you know what that means? You don't get to play important games. You go home after 162. So unless you start putting some importance on these games for this overrated baseball team, set it, talk about it later, this overrated baseball team that had a chance to sweep the Mets, maybe also an overrated baseball team, but a baseball team that's supposed to be good and has a better record than you, slumping a little bit. You had a chance to sweep them, and yet you didn't. Let's go to the phone line, 617-779-7937.
There's some angry Sox fans out there.
And there's an angry host right here. Don't lie to me. Damn it. Joe in Melrose. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I kind of disagree with you, Andy. I mean, I think the reason why they lost last night is because they only scored one run. It was a really raw, cold, windy night. I mean, apparently, like, Jaron Duran hit a ball 108 miles an hour off the bat, and it only was a fly out to the warning track. That shows kind of how the night went. And, you know, Garrett Crochet, I mean, Alex Cora, I'm sure, is going to say the weather played an impact about him getting pulled after 85 innings, and you want him, like, healthy for the whole season. For me, like, the Red Sox got to win. They got to bring up Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer as soon as possible and trade for some bullpen help.
Thanks for the call, Joe. We can get into Anthony and Meyer and all that. Let's stick to the conversation at hand, which is pulling Crochet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big believer, first of all, in the butterfly effect.
Mm-hmm. Same.
You change
There's
something.
There's always a corollary effect. Yep.
Everything else changes. So I have no idea how many runs they would or would not have scored if Crochet stays in the game longer. Also, any chance, and I know these guys are human beings that play a lot of games, and their emotions, their attention span, their energies ebb and flow.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm watching that game and it's like, wait, why are we pulling Crochet?
Yeah, we're in this one, Coach.
Are we playing? Now, hey, Coach, is this one of those games we're trying to win or not trying to win? Because it looks like we're not trying to win by this move.
Is this a care about it or not really so much care about it game?
Give a bleep.
By the way, sir, let me just give you this. What are these papers? These show you how much the bullpen had to pitch the last two nights. So we may need him to go longer. Today.
So
is that okay?
I think you could argue
get 100 out of him?
That you lose a little something throughout the overall energy of the team when you pull Crochet. Now, you shouldn't. I'm not saying you should. I'm not saying that's acceptable. I'm just saying that could even be an impetus for a different butterfly effect outcome if you keep Crochet mm-hmm. in versus pulling Crochet. 617-779-7937. By the way, tonight's game, no game.
What?
Not a must. No game. I don't know if you came in. You you mentioned it yesterday. You might want to start pairing up. Do you want us to represent the male whites together mm-hmm. as the two that get on Noah's Ark?
Two of everything on the big boat.
Because, yeah, it's raining ridiculous out there. There'll be a doubleheader tomorrow. 1:35 in the afternoon and then 7:10 start. There'll probably be a little sandwiched in WEEI afternoons in the middle there.
Oh,
hopefully
nice.
After a win, because they need a win. The best way to shut up idiots like me on the radio, win.
Win.
Make us move on. Give us something else to
you
talk
can't
about.
You can win.
Well, they're not trying to win right now because they pulled their ace. 617-779-7937. Let's go to David in Florida. What's up, David?
Good afternoon.
Hi.
You know, there is so much to unpack from mm-hmm. Cora's interview last night. I mean, first of all, like you alluded to a little while ago, is 2 out of 3 sufficient? I mean, is a little complacency there? Is 2 out of 3 sufficient, Alice? So are you trying to win every single damn game you play? Whoa. The weather is the same for each team, so I never, ever, 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 ever want to hear anybody using the weather as an excuse. Never. Never.
Okay.
Third of all, you're absolutely right about him pulling Crochet too prematurely. I mean, there was 85 pitches. He could have at least finished the fifth inning, which he absolutely should have. But he should have got another inning too. I mean, Cora. Let me be clear. Alexander Cora has no business managing a Major League Baseball team. I could not be any more clear. He is complacent.
Wow, David.
He doesn't know how to motivate, challenge players. He doesn't know how to take his players to the next level. He has no business managing a Major League Baseball team.
Thanks for the call, David.
Holy smokes. Now, this is one of our most consistent, loyal, dedicated, not only just callers, Sox fans. Like, this is somebody, an expatriated New Englander living in Florida, who lives and dies all year round by the moves made by his beloved baseball team, let alone in season. For him to now basically just call for Cora's head? Wow.
And
I wonder.
It's a little extreme. I don't know if he should be managing the Boston Red Sox. There's a long run here of either mediocrity or losing with Alex Cora. And this is a bottom line business. We understand that. But to say that he's not one of the best baseball men, there's guys in Major League Baseball managing that I don't even know their name.
Sorry,
and he has
that.
A ring.
A little
as well.
Microphone issue right there. Andy at the text line, also the same number, 617-779-7937.
The one that says I sound like an idiot?
Well, sure, that happens.
You sure it's me?
I wasn't
Probably.
Talking for the last. That was David and you. 978. Crap like this made me stop watching the Red Sox about 3 to 4 weeks ago. I'm just done already, which sucks because I love the Sox.
Or SOS, which they typed. Maybe they actually meant SOS, like they're sending out an SOS signal for this sinking ship that is the Boston Red Sox that was supposed to be good.
This team, did we get
a Freudian?
Did
slip?
We get? Are they like? Did we get hoodwinked into thinking they're better? And are they truly just overrated?
No, I think they're better than this. They're not maximizing their abilities right now. Now we also had a few texts in there. I don't have to read them, but there's a bunch of blame the offense texts. And yes, the offense is not
another
good.
Another
right
9-7-8. Our offense sucks in literally every
bases
loaded situation. How many men are we going to leave on base? By the way, Andy, last night, how many strikeouts? Take a guess.
16.
You just looked at a screen.
Did you see my eyes?
I did. No wonder why you came up with that stat last week in Quiz with Stiz. By the way, I get my revenge tonight, 5:30.
We'll see. That is right. Stick around for Quiz with Stiz at 5:30. 3 o'clock, we'll have Ted Johnson in your three-point stances. 3:30, we'll have Tom Curran. But up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we'll continue to take your calls. And yes, we might mix in our own rants about Alex Cora, his decision to remove Garrett Crochet, and what the hell is going on with the communication issues with the Boston Red Sox. Your call's next on WEEI.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.